DD214 Network podcast is for mature audiences only. Any videos, music, or entertainment not originating from DD214 Network is used and covered under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976, also known as fair use. Opinions expressed are our own and do not represent any DoD or U.S. government entities as a whole. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. You are no longer alone now, because we have you.
Yep. We are here over on the red corner, weighing in at 154 pounds, Joseph, the tech guy, Squillini.
At 154 pounds.
And in my blue
corner. I missed the days I was 154 fucking pounds. By the way, happy National Drug Test Day to everybody out there in the military.
And in the blue corner. Weighing in at 96 and a half pounds.
Jesus. And just his big toe.
Jay, the Blood Eagle, Campbell.
You're goddamn right.
With your special guest referee and guest announcer and CEO and everything else, Clean Sanchez. What's going on, everybody?
What's up, dude? Did you have a good 420, John?
I am still trying to survive the residuals because I haven't felt like I've been hit by a dump truck in a long time.
Right.
And right. I usually wake up, Jay
got him drunk.
Yeah. Like usually I wake up to go pee. I couldn't even wake up to go pee. Like it was 420 was exactly what it needed to be. And before I get to a little bit more of this
paralysis.
Yeah. Like guys, just like you have to drink responsibly. Smoke responsibly.
Hard agree.
Fucking yeah, you could still get a DUI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep. You can.
Okay, we're not going to get into all the different health related arguments about how much better or worse this or that is, but I will say imbibing in cannabis responsibly is also a fucking thing.
Yeah, you still get a DUI if you're caught driving in it.
Yes, you do.
You know, like it's still you need to do it.
And if you can't cross state lines with it, even with two states that border each other, both legal, you are still technically not allowed to cross state lines with it.
And to add into that, the two states need to have a relationship with each other. Like for instance, like if you are a medical patient, and let's say if you're going from like New Jersey to Florida, right, or Florida to New Jersey, both states honor each other's medical provisions. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You got to have the paperwork.
Not everybody's does, and that's
the problem. True. Is you're crossing through a billion other fucking states to get there that don't.
Well, that's
exactly.
We live in a place where on the other side of the river in on the Kansas side from Missouri, it's still not legal. So you got a dispensary literally like on the state line across the street.
It's fucked up, right?
And if you go far enough across the street this way and as soon as you walk into Kansas, you're basically breaking the law.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, you know
that's a real thing. Say again.
Fuck out of that. I was saying, you know, cops are stalking the fuck out of that one.
They haven't been, I want to say they haven't been as crazy about it in Kansas. They're like, they're not cracking down hard because they know, especially like here in the Kansas City metro area, it's going to be a thing, but they're getting more, agitated at the amount, like at the amount of Kansans, people that live in Kansas, bringing shit back across the border from Missouri. So it's like, and it's legal to purchase here. It's completely legal. We have dispensaries and everything, you know, not unlike
recreational too, right? Like you don't have to have a medical card.
I do not have a medical card. Although I wasn't able to imbibe at the time when we were at Fort Carson, when I lived down, you know, and when I lived in Colorado, there were dispensaries everywhere. And it was the same shit. You could legally, if you were of age, regardless of where your driver's license is from, like they honor all, it's like, as long as you're of age, like that's all they care about.
And there are states that will honor your medical needs, but you need to have the paperwork in order to travel with it, the proper stuff. But I think that's more, I don't know what it is if you're traveling by car. Because again, if you're traveling by car,
it's a federal law. Like you can't cross state lines. That's not a state law. Yeah. That's a federal law. That's because technically cannabis is still a Schedule I drug.
Yeah. I've covered too that Chuck Schumer himself is setting out a bill for cannabis banking and for to push the scheduling.
They need to that scheduling has got to get the fuck out. This is not in the 1970s war on fucking drugs anymore.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
If anything, fucking drugs completely won the fuck out of that war.
So, my thing is, being on the show with you guys, obviously I live in the horrible state of North Carolina
horrible.
There are horrible states, Jay. California. Okay?
We have fucking Fort Bragg. We are a horrible state.
You think that your state is worse than California?
Oh no, California is still fucking worse.
Yeah, okay. Like, then you're good.
Like at least we now have, so North Carolina, we still haven't, you know, we still don't have medical or recreational for marijuana, but last year we did pass constitutional carry with firearms. So now I wanted to go get a new pistol or new handgun, I had to go to the sheriff's department, submit a fucking application to get a permit, wait fucking 3, 4, 5 fucking months, depending on how backlogged they were, then go into my federal firearms dealer, hand them my permit, do another fucking background check, walk out with my firearm. It would take, 6, 7 months to buy a new handgun. Now, because we've switched over to a carry state, I can go walk into the sporting goods store up the road that sells handguns, hand them my ID. They run the federal background check there on the spot. My shit's clear because I know this recent, just did it like 2 weeks ago. Walk out in 30 minutes with a handgun.
Say that last part.
But I can't purchase pop.
No, but you cannot. You can easily buy a handgun. But you can't smoke a joint legally.
And it's like, okay, I get it. I'm a responsible gun owner. Like all my shit's in safes. My kid, when she's over, she has no access to the fucking firearms. I have my nightstand gun, which is also fucking in a safe in the top drawer on my nightstand. I don't leave anything fucking loaded. But at the same time, you know, when it's easier to get a firearm that can kill people than it is to get cannabis, which can help with chronic pain, mental disorders, all these other fucking medical fucking things, that's fucking ridiculous. And
agree. Yeah. Even as somewhat of a freaking, like, kind of, I'm kind of a stalwart on the Second Amendment. So even as kind of like, you know,
I mean, I'm all for the Second Amendment. I have no problem with it. Again, all three of us are ex-military. Handled guns. We've been there. We've
shot one.
But you have to freaking, but the level of responsibility can never be like overstated. It's like,
exactly.
It has to be like, It is a matter of life and death. That weapon is a tool. That weapon is a tool, and mm-hmm. and what it does is deal death.
Yeah.
And so
it's 100%
treat it like every time could be like, you know what I mean? Like
if I end up having to pull that out of the holster, if I have to pull my pistol out of its holster off of my waist,
somebody's gonna die.
I'm pulling it with the intent to kill whoever's fucking on the other end.
That's correct. And
I do not take that lightly.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Before I could.
The responsibility thing. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. And before I continue with what happened this week, I actually saw a video this week of a man who was robbing a man was carjacking a service truck, right? And the guy pulled out a gun to stop the carjacker because he was. You know, working with deadly intent, getting ready to run people over with his truck. And the guy pulled out his gun with the intent to hurt this guy who was stealing someone else's truck. It wasn't his truck.
Yeah, I saw that video too.
It was devastating what happened to the guy. And, you know, the guy, unfortunately, he passed away trying to be a good Samaritan. And it goes to show that, you know, there are heroes out there that properly know how to use a weapon system for the right reasons. And that was a reason for it happening. Unfortunately, that hero lost his life to some asshole who ran him over with the truck that he stole.
Right.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
I did not. Yeah. That didn't happen across my feed. So I didn't.
There was actually something that happened in Kansas City this
week. I'll have to find that video and send it to you, Jay. Cause it was, pretty it's gnarly. Not something we would, I would say we show on the podcast.
Yeah. It's devastating.
We don't do gore porn here, dude.
Yeah.
The thing is, the video, you can't really see the gore part. You see the dude jump in the truck to try to jack it. The other guy, you watch him, he fucking grabs and just boom, boom, unloads. And then the dude that's carjacking still takes off in the truck and then just boom, power slams right into the guy at like 45 miles per hour.
Yeah. And there's actually a huge investigation going on with Kansas City police that I can't even talk about because the algorithm would take us out because of the certain words that would have to be used in the conversation. But remind me about that after the air.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. Well,
Kansas City is having, you know, this is big cities have big city problems, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've said many times that Kansas City is in the middle of a renaissance, but mm-hmm. people forget what else happens during a renaissance. Why is it a renaissance? Because shit's changing.
Shit's
changing. And yeah. So like, feathers get ruffled and people get fucking taken to task for their either abilities or inabilities to get whatever mm-hmm. done or not done. Right. And it's not just the police. It is definitely not just the police here. Like there's a long Kansas City tradition of bureaucracy and gross things behind the scenes, you know, at City Hall. And that's like,
yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely. One
of those things where, like, now that the fucking world, like a lot of the world spotlight is on Kansas City a lot. Kansas City is getting like blowback, where it's like,
yeah,
you can't pull this fucking shit when everybody's watching us. You know what I mean?
Like, it's getting all this blowback and all this negative press because of all the good from like, it's really the Chiefs. The Chiefs doing what they've been doing in football have spearheaded all this publicity for Kansas City as a whole. So now every little thing is being scrutinized that happens there.
There you go. Which is not also, that is not always a bad thing. We are all about accountability here at DD214. So like, even though I sit here and toot Kansas City's horn just about every fucking week, it is a big city and it is facing some big city issues right now. There are other, and that whole thing with what you're talking about with the cops, John, like,
yeah, it's not new.
That's one layer of the fucking cake.
Yeah.
That's one layer of the cake. That's not even the fucking, you know what I mean? Like that's one thing
let's get positive. Yeah. Let's get positive. All right, everyone knows what happens at 420. It was a good time. The most important thing for me was being around friends with the same ideals, safely. No one drove home. Everyone took an Uber. Like that's another thing, you know.
Say it again. Nobody did what?
nobody drove home. No one physically brought their own vehicles. They Ubered down. We shot some podcasts. I threw up.
You always throw up on the
live ones. Why is it always you're the one
on
that
the live me. Ones? You throw up on the live ones. Like when we like the random live ones, you always like something happens and your stomach gets upset.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not even the random ones. I mean, remember the fucking hot nuts challenge last year? This motherfucker was puking like a son of a bitch after the first nut.
I swore off like hot belly contests after that, dude. Like I'm done.
Oh yeah, we're done.
I'm extremely proud of myself for getting John to fucking partake. I'm the one that fucked y'all up on that.
Yo, I have to give it to Squillini because I wouldn't have done that any other way. To be honest with you,
I took that shit to the face, but I'm telling you right now, dude, like that was that convinced me like that's the last.
I still haven't shit right since.
You're never gonna see me at like Buffalo Wild Wings doing like the hot wing challenge ever again. You know what I mean? Like I've done that before, by the way.
Like, I've done it like five fucking times. Got the t-shirt and my photo on the wall every time. Wings are not that hot.
I'm fucking done, dude. Like I'm not. No more hot belly for Jay. I'll still take my spicy a little bit. I like a little bit of spicy. No more hot belly. Yeah, hot belly shit is for the fucking birds, dude.
Yeah, but and we had a lot of food. We had a bunch of meat. We had a bunch of meat on. We were barbecuing chicken, meat, hot dogs. You know the nines. But my favorite part was being able to do podcasts. And I brought in a huge Easter egg from DD214. We played gamer tag and sex position too. But we played the one that got us banned from the last episode that's not aired anymore.
Which one was that?
When we had our guest who was talking about losing his virginity in the bushes.
Oh, that's...
And if you remember, when we did Gamer Tigers Exposition 2,
he got
upset.
We had a guest who went into a podcast with the understanding that we were going to ask him some questions, but we were also
going to be comedic.
We're going to be comedic about it. And I got him into a conversation where he admitted like how he lost his virginity, which was
he admitted it.
We're fucking veterans, dude. Like we don't give a shit, dude. Like that. It's just the story is what we care about. It's the story.
Yeah.
We were having a good time after the fucking podcast.
Like a day after.
What did you get, John? Like a letter or some shit?
It was a letter. Like the guy's family was upset. We can't even go into like what was going on with the individual himself.
Joe, they were just crying like some fucking titty babies, dude. Just fucking crying, dude.
Like, it was a small community of people too. Like it was kind of like that moment. Like, wait a minute. Like you came into a show knowing what we're about.
And then you get fucking ass hurt fucking because we like actually, well, the thing was we were having a good conversation. I got the dude to admit how he lost his virginity.
Yeah.
Like that's a good story.
He lost it in the bush. Yeah. He lost it in the bush.
Yeah. Like, dude, like, and it was like, I don't fucking know, dude. Like, dude, fuck that shit. Like,
yeah. You
know
what? So, like, dude, like, and we did Gamer Tagger Sex Position then, and he got upset from Gamer Tagger Sex Position. So since then, I've been kind of like very careful, but I used the exact same list that got us off the air that day, I used it yesterday. And the other host, Dabs, he was like, "No one asked for this," but then everyone that was in my house was like, "Yes, we did. We've been waiting for this for a long time." Like we. Because everyone knows about gamer tag
and sex position. Like I think in the 2 years almost now that I've been on the show with you guys, we've done it once.
Yeah. And we have to do it again. I want to make it bigger. I want to make it bigger.
It's a fun game. We gotta just find another
fucking guest to come on and then we do it. Just like surprise them with it. Just boom, gamer tag. Yeah,
it's just like it has to happen. It's such a good game. I love it. It's fun.
We haven't had a guest in a while, have we?
I think the last time we had a guest was Ace. Shit.
And actually, I spoke to Ace a couple days ago.
Was it Ace?
Yes, I think it was. It was either Ace or Bodette.
I was gonna say
no.
One of the three rotating guests that we
it was Ace, Baudette, or fucking Cleary. It was one of the three of them.
Cleary. It was Cleary.
Because I think it was when Cleary. You were dealing with all that other shit, Jay, and you weren't on.
That's so right, yeah.
A couple people rotate in for a few episodes. Yep. To still have the three-man fucking team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Cleary. Cleary was our last fucking guest.
It was.
We've been very careful, and I actually have an inquiry too to actually have a really good honest conversation with a VFW. I was actually going to wait to tell you this offline, but I mean, let's kind of talk. We'll say on the air. Got an inquiry to speak to a gentleman who survived the USS Iowa, and is currently a head honcho at the VFWs here in New Jersey. I think that would be a really good conversation to have. But he's a really good guy, but a survivor of the USS Iowa. That's
Iowa. What do you mean? Is that Iowa was like.
So in 1984 on August 15th. Oh, I want to make sure I got this right. I'm almost certain it is the Iowa.
Or maybe you're still high from 420.
Ah, it was a turret explosion in 1989.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, during a gunnery exercise at 0955 on April 19th, 1989, which was just 2 days ago, an explosion ripped through the number 2 16-inch gun turret, killing 47 crewmen. A gunner's mate in the powder magazine room quickly flooded the number 2 powder magazine, likely preventing catastrophic damage to the ship.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's hardcore. Hardcore.
So he, you know, I'm not sure if that's something that he would want to speak about, but I'm sure that that's something that a lot of veterans would like to know. But this gentleman, he is a hell of a man, one of the greatest in the world. But we'll try to get him on, including other veterans that I've been trying to work on. Things have been getting a lot less busy for me, especially after this week. But other than that, the week was great.
Well, it's good. I'm glad you had a good light bulb.
What's the light bulb?
You get yourself an in-person guest for that fucking weekend that I'm in KC.
Like for me, I'm in here?
Like it's me and Jay in a fucking room, you and a guest in a room.
I could do that. Wait, what's the
bad idea?
Okay, hold up.
Memorial Day weekend. I'm not gonna lie, the 24th.
I know we're freaking live right now, but like I'm kind of digging that idea.
Fuck it.
I think we can do that.
If we can work that out, that'd be fucking awesome.
I think we could do that. I actually think that's enough time. That's enough time. And I also you got
a little over a fucking month.
Yeah. I also want to announce too, I'm talking a lot today. Your boy Clean Sanchez is going to pop his guest cherry and be a guest on the From the Dungeon podcast on May 15th.
Okay.
What's he?
From the Dungeon.
Is this a BDSM podcast?
No, it's a podcast.
That just seems like something you would fucking do.
It's a podcast that takes place behind the Lucky 13 Saloon in New York, but I'm going to be doing virtual. I'm not going to be going over there.
BDSM podcast. Got it.
I don't know, but it's pretty much all around. They talk about rock music. They talk about current events and things like that. So I'm super excited to be a part of that with my Clean and Friends partner. We got to get Jay as a guest somewhere. We got to get Swillian as a guest. This thing needs to spread. But enough about me. How about you?
I want to hold on that thought for just a moment, though. I think we would make all three of us individually would make fantastic guests. But I'm curious, like, what would the podcast be? And like, what kind of podcast would like work with us as guests individually? Like not the three of us together. Like you get one of the three, but
bad friends.
But see, that's the thing. That's the thing though. It's really hard because we have such good chemistry together as hosts, co-hosts, producer, that thinking about what would be a good fucking like topic type of podcast for like me to go on or you, Jay.
Dude, for me, it'd be like that. That scares me to even think about, because like I'd be like, I have to be really careful with my words sometimes. You know what I mean? Like I have to be really.
I honestly, for you, Jay, the only fucking other one I could see you going on is fucking Rogan.
I could see him going on Rogan, and Bad Friends.
Because Rogan is just so fucking off the wall to begin
and
with.
He doesn't give a fuck. He'll just ask you fucking questions. He'll ask you questions until you tell a story. He basically like will ask you questions until you start. The one thing that Joe Rogan does really, really well is like he gets people to talk. He gets people to actually fucking talk.
Exactly. Like I could see you going on Rogan. Like that's that I feel because the unfiltered nature of Jay works. Would just fit in to the unfiltered nature of fucking the Rogan podcast.
I could see Jay on the Howie Mandel podcast too.
Yeah, Howie would be another good one because Howie's podcast has kind of started going a little bit more the unfiltered direction.
I think with Howie Mandel, I'd be a lot more polite. I'd be a lot more polite with Rogan.
No, yeah, Howie
Rogan,
definitely.
Rogan is like being in the room with a fucking gorilla.
Howie's gotten really good with interviewing people too. Like he's gotten really good.
Some people are naturally inquisitive, so like you start talking about something that their brain is like, oh, but what about this? And so they ask that shit.
And then
you keep talking, and then you keep talking, and next thing you know, you're spilling your guts about like the crush you had, you know, in high school, you know, and the one that got away, and you haven't talked about in like 15 fucking years.
Mm-hmm. I know the perfect podcast that Jay would be on. It's a podcast called Really No Really, and it's with actor Jason Alexander and Peter Tilden. Jason Alexander is George from Seinfeld, but the podcast is about like literally really no really like oh Jay what was one of the most extreme things that you did you in the military like that you could talk about, right? And they'll be like, really? No really, you know, that's simple show. Wish we would have thought about it.
I want to know what the fuck, like what podcast would you guys go on? Would you guys
be Bad Friends?
What is Bad Friends?
Bobby Lee and Andrew Santino just talking shit to each other.
Okay. So where are you gonna go there and take some bumps or what? Like freaking like
I wouldn't mind. No.
Fucking Bobby Lee, that motherfucker's like a goddamn like snack whore / he's got everything you ever will ever need. So there was an episode where they had Burt Kreischer on there. And fucking Bobby Lee pulls out a fucking can of goddamn chewing tobacco from fucking fucking packs that shit and packs a fat fucking lip. And Bert's like, is that motherfucking dip? Like, did you just pack a fat fucking lip? And then just Bert goes on about, you're the first fucking Asian I've ever seen use that shit. And then Bobby starts pulling out other fucking cans of chewing tobacco from his fucking bag, all this other shit. And then they just
probably like they're probably all sponsored too.
35 fucking minutes about like, if you need anything, Bobby's the fucking guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting too, because like a lot of podcasts are getting so good right now. They're just like watching TV shows. Like that's like Bad Friends is good for comedy. You have, if you're into like science and tech, you got Alex Friedman, you know, and Alex Friedman is great too. Give me some Squillini.
So for me, if I were given the opportunity and to be on any podcast right now, it would have to be the Waveform podcast by MKBHD.
Yep.
It's a tech podcast. One of the big tech tubers that I watch and his videos and shit. He's really good. He's from New York. He plays fucking ultimate frisbee.
That's cool.
He's your typical, he's a nerd, he's a tech person, but he's not your typical tech person. Like, he doesn't look like your typical tech guy. Like,
yeah, yeah,
he's athletic, right. He's fucking, you know, all this other shit. But that would, I would say, to cater to more my non-military skill set, that would be the podcast to go on.
I have to say Marquez is my favorite. Marquez probably is my he is so cool and honest. Really, really nice, and like he's really like when he did like the Apple Pro review, like he was just like he was like super neutral about it. Like you could tell that this guy's just like he knows.
And this week there's been a lot going on because there's this new product coming out called the Humane AI Pin, which it's a little wearable badge that has like a projector on it. And it's literally a smartphone slash AI assistant that you just wear like on your shirt. And he gave it a horrible review. Yeah. Like the title of his fucking video was probably the worst tech I've ever reviewed. And Twitter just fucking tore him a new asshole. Like he's bankrupting companies, this, that, and the other. And then other reviewers have come out the woodwork like, no, he's doing his fucking job. He's not good. He's doing these reviews so people make a proper fucking decision when thinking about buying something.
Right.
He's honestly the best.
He's not going to give it a good fucking review when it's complete shit.
That's called customer advocacy.
Yeah.
That's advocating for the customer.
And it shows why he's so successful too.
And the thing is, his review wasn't that bad because I watched it before the fucking tweet started, and then I was watching fucking X and saw all of it fucking going down. And I'm like, his review was honest. And he never said it was a bad idea. He said the first generation of the fucking product's not good. Don't spend $800 on this thing right now. There's still a lot of improvements that need to be made to make this a usable product.
Yeah. Hey, like, you're gonna get the truth when you work with Mr. Brownlee. It's just he's not gonna lie to you. And that's why, like, you know, I love where podcasts are going right now. Like, Jay, is there something that has your eye at the moment? Or something that the DD214 podcast?
I still haven't.
Jay doesn't fucking do podcasts except this one.
No. He got no time. He's got no time.
I'm still working on making space in my brain for like other things.
Because you know what it is. It's like you're either choosing to spend 45 minutes watching a TV show or using that 45 minutes to listen or watch a podcast too. And
it's not that I don't have time sometimes. It's not that I can't or won't. Yeah. It's that I just haven't reached that stage of like where I'm at yet to start. I used to listen to music, but I occasionally would listen to like a Joe Rogan podcast, like when I was on road trip.
Or early in the morning if I'm working out.
Occasionally I can do a podcast while I'm working out. Occasionally, not always. Just depends on like what they're talking about or what the topic is. But it's like I can kind of do that too. But it's so infrequent. You know what I mean? Like where I get these moments of like, well, what do you want to do? Well, what do you want to do? You know? And like there's this like argument inside of our own brains. Like you have an hour. How are you going to spend it? Right. Like before you have to do like the next thing.
That's true.
So podcasts in general just haven't made it on the list yet. That's not the fault of any of these.
It's products. Coming.
Right? Like so it probably is. It probably is. I mean, seriously. Go ahead.
Because like John, you know, you gave me the rights to Flagged for Removal, which is a podcast you were doing.
Badge.
I haven't I've probably recorded the first episode I was gonna do for Flagged for Removal 40 fucking times now. Since you've passed on the fucking name to me. And I haven't hit a stride. So what I've started doing is while I'm working, I'm going through and on Spotify, I'm finding new podcasts in areas of interest that I like, and I'm listening to them and I've got those playing while I'm fucking, you know, running reports and doing management bullshit. And then I've got this and I'm fucking taking notes and trying to find where like inspiration from different shows here and there.
Mm-hmm.
One that I found recently that I really like, I'm not taking inspiration from them at all. It's called Unsubscribed. It's a lot of Second Amendment and veteran content creators, Fat Electrician, Donut Operator, Matt Carricker from Demolition Ranch, Angry Cops. Those guys, they do a fucking podcast. Well, Angry Cops kind of comes on as a guest all the time.
Yeah.
Perpetual Line Crosser. It's a really good fucking show. Like, hilarious. Like, I caught myself on Friday. I was, you know, I watched 8-hour shift. Their episodes are usually about 1 hour and 45, 2 hours long. So around about where ours hits in that mark. And I watched like 6 fucking episodes while I was working, or listened to 6 of their episodes. And I'm like dying fucking laughing at some of the comedy that comes out of these fuckers. So, you know, not to draw away from our show, obviously, but no. You know, definitely Unsubscribed. I would say, Jay, you would fucking like it.
That
yo,
might be,
Cleary,
that
might be, did you like hear us talking about you earlier or something?
That might be the felt it. What's going on? What happened?
Cleary just showed up.
Oh.
Speak of the devil, he shall arrive, right?
Absolutely.
So what were else you saying, happened? Okay.
No, I was just gonna say it sounds intriguing to me. Like I'm familiar with a few of those guys. At least familiar enough that it would be interesting to seeing all of them interact together, maybe.
Yeah.
So that's maybe what would you call them? Like, would you call them like mill celebs? You know?
Yeah,
like,
they're your
celebrities.
They're your mill creators. Like they're the guys that are and what did you miss? We were talking earlier about the last time we had a guest on the show, and actually you were the last guest we've had on the show, Cleary.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been a while. Like we were talking about getting guests. So yeah. Because it's been a while.
We miss them. We miss them. What else we got on the table today?
Oh, John.
Well, Jay, yeah, go ahead.
I watched Fallout.
Okay.
Oh God. Oh God, John. I didn't even like, dude. You know, you remember last
week? Go ahead.
You remember last week when I was like talking all that shit?
Yes.
Like I was like kayfabe talking shit because like I seriously thought like, especially the way like it's not just you guys, like everyone is like just like sucking the cock of Fallout right now. I mean, everyone. Yeah. I was actually kind of hyped. I was like, fuck, this is going to be fucking awesome. And then I turn the goddamn thing on and I legitimately am basically becoming like not kayfabe. I'm going to have to go heel on this one, dude. Like that was one of the worst fucking TV shows I have seen in a long fucking time. And it was so fucking terrible. I turned it off halfway through.
Did you delete your post?
No. Why?
I'm looking for it.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to have to go full heel on this one, dude. Like I cannot even give this TV show a proper rating. It was so like, cause I didn't even make it through one episode. I made it like 40 minutes. I thought it was going to be better. I like the way everybody was talking about it, and whether it's because I didn't play the game or whatever. It's just like, it did nothing for me. I mean, literally like I stared like a statue waiting for something to happen in that TV show that made me give a fuck. And mm-hmm. I was out after fucking like 35, somewhere between the 35 and 40 minute mark. I was like, I'm turning this fucking shit off. Like, and I was watching with somebody. So my friend that I was watching with fucking hated it too. It was the same shit. It was like, you want to watch something else? Like, it was like, it was, it literally did nothing for me. Like there was,
I love, I love how Mike J.
What did he say?
What did he say? Said, yes, and Postal is the most accurate video game movie adaptation. And for context, who is Mike J again, Jay?
He works at Running with Scissors, and he's been there for a long, long time. And Running with Scissors is the group and the company that created Postal, and there's a movie, you know,
with J.K. Simmons.
And that's that. I think when he said that, I immediately
it was hilarious.
Did you read how I responded?
Yeah,
the difference is I made it through that whole fucking movie. Like I made it. Like Postal is kind of like it's like one of those like movies that's so bad it's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I do love what he says though, because at the end he is a developer, right? Yeah. So he. Yeah. I like what he says here, that he never played it, but he watched two episodes. He doesn't think it's great, but he doesn't think it's terrible either. You know, so there's even with some people who typically disliked it, there was something in there that was just like little bit enjoyable.
Yeah, and I was honestly shocked. I was legit being like kayfabe asshole last week. You know what I mean? When I sat down and watched it, and I was like, I usually give shit a chance. I usually give shit at least a chance. This shit was like, I'm like, what are we doing? Where are we? What's going on? No. Okay. What now? Like by the time, like people started like entering the bunker and like slaughtering everybody, like after the wedding or whatever, like I didn't even give a fuck. I was like, this is stupid. Like I'm out. Like, I'm fucking out. I have no plans to waste any more of my fucking time. You know what I mean? With this show. Like,
oh yeah.
There's a reason I never watched my friends play the game. There's a reason I never played the game. I have no fucking business watching this show. It means nothing to me. It was so fucking boring. That was like the most boring shit I've watched in so fucking long. And I'm sorry to like the 99.9% of all of you out there that are like milking the cock of this thing.
Oh yeah, we're milking it.
Dude, milk that cock. Milk it. It just got approved for fucking season 2. Milk
that shit. With a $25 million California tax credit, baby.
Swallow the gravy. Swallow the gravy on Fallout. Like I don't care. I'm not fucking eating that shit.
So we'll go on to the next thing. But for those who do like it, go check out starting this week. There's going to be an 8-episode episodic series by Bong Rips and Video Games, breaking down the episodes, talking about the negatives, the positives, and the Easter eggs. So
boring.
No one said you had to watch, Jay.
See, you can tell how big of a milk in the cock for Fallout John is when his Bong Rips and Video Games hat is the fucking bunker door where the 420 is.
We also have Back to the Future, Barbie,
nice.
Halo, The Simpsons. We got a whole bunch of logos.
When are we gonna do fucking hats like that for fucking us? Like
I'm not an artist. I don't make this stuff. We have a decent hat. We have a decent hat on cleansanchezmedia.com. Decent price. But there's a corduroy one too. But who wears corduroy hats?
I could probably find some fucking hicks out here
that wear corduroy hats.
Quite possibly.
What else is going on?
Dude, shit's weird in the middle of the country, dude. What do you want me to say? Like, what do you want me to say?
I don't know.
People do weird shit out here. Like, I don't know.
What do we have next?
I did the soccer game yesterday.
Like, how was that? At the new stadium?
Yeah, the lady. Yeah, it was the ladies. Yeah. It was the ladies.
Was that the one that Messi was there?
No, that was last weekend. That was Arrowhead.
Okay. You talked about that last week, right? Yeah, you did.
Yeah. But no, honestly, like I don't really have much to say about the game. It was not like we did good again. Like
fun, exciting game as always.
The fans have been amazing. I don't.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, but if I don't, I don't recall hearing anything come over the radio. I think we've had this was the third home game for the KC Current, which is our women's team, and this stadium was built specifically for them, which I think is like one of like the first in the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's a purpose built for the ladies fucking stadium. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And like, there's been 3 sellouts. I don't think we've had any ejections yet. That's like,
really,
dude, I'm not even joking. Like, no exaggeration. 3 sellouts, and the stands were fucking full again last night. It was the first night game.
So for comparison, how many injections would be in one game at a Arrowhead Stadium game?
If it was like a Chiefs game?
Yeah.
It can be in the dozens.
No shit. It can be
in the dozens. Oh, yeah. Depending on the game and depending on how rowdy people get, or like freaking between like, it's not always like that, but it can be like it gets stupid really quick, dude. It gets stupid really quick. Like people are big dumb animals, dude. People are big dumb animals.
Yeah.
And if they're like, if they've been fucking like feasting on liquor, you know, in the parking lot for four hours before they even fucking go through the gate.
Just reminded me of Squilini.
You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. But yeah, the soccer game was okay. We won, scored a lot of goals. Actually, it was actually really cool. But I had an interesting experience before the game. They were giving all the employees, like, they were making burgers. Well, when I got up there in line, they were out of the fresh beef patties. So I had a chance to enjoy, for the first time ever, a black bean burger, which is basically like a vegan. It's a vegan burger.
Yeah. Like, you know, when you said that yesterday in our chat, I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Right. Well, I can tell you this much, the black bean burger, it didn't blow my skirt up, but ketchup and mustard fix a lot. It fixes a lot. And and unlike that shitty ass fucking TV show Fallout, dude, like, I finished it. So like, like, apparently I'd rather eat vegan than watch Fallout. So that was like, that was actually like a highlight. I had never tried a vegan burger, like, ever. So like, that was kind of like, I was curious. It wasn't that great. Like, honestly, it wasn't that great. I'd say like somewhere between like a 5 and a 6 out of 10. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't that great, but it wasn't that bad either. It wasn't that bad either. And ketchup and mustard fix a lot. That's why God made condiments.
That's right.
Like, that's why we were blessed with, you know, the miracle of condiments. So fuck it. I mean, it wasn't that great, but it didn't kill me either. You know what I mean? It didn't kill me either.
Being the guy from the South, I'm going to have to ask the Midwesterner and
are you G-checking Northerner. Me? Are you thinking about G-checking me?
What is the best condiment?
You know what I'm going to say. You know what my favorite one is? No, barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce. I love barbecue sauce, hands down. Damn. It's so versatile.
See, I've got Jay fucking thinking now. You do. It takes a lot to fucking get Jay to really fucking think.
But if I had to have one condiment for the rest of my life, like, in it, like, that, like, you don't get any more. No, there's no go backs. Like, you have to pick one. That's all you get for the rest of your life. What would you pick? Right. That's basically what he asked. What's the best one? Oh, fuck. My veins want to say what John said, but my heart is telling me mustard. My heart is telling me mustard. like no shit. My heart is telling me, because you can put it in so much other shit.
Yeah.
But like, fucking, like,
yeah.
And it's
See,
like,
and that's where that's where I want to go with what John said also, mm-hmm. but the Southerner in me wants to say mayonnaise.
Oh,
because
no,
you can use it in so much other shit too.
Yep, there you go.
Like, and you use it to make so many other fucking things.
There you
where like ketchup and barbecue sauce, you're really limited with what you can do with those. But with mustard and mayonnaise, you know, you got potato salad, fucking pasta salad. You got all these different fucking things you can use those with. And usually potato salad, pasta salad, any of that type of shit is using both mayonnaise and mustard.
Yeah.
John, I like your answer though, because like,
no, I mean, I'm, you know, you saw me
from Kansas City, not saying barbecue is probably blasphemy.
No, I'm actually not kind of surprised though, because you guys have such a plethora of like, I mean, you guys have like condiment bars over there. It's
bro, we do like the Midwest does not fuck around. Hey, Kelly W. Friggin', that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Want any more?
But yeah, no, definitely mustard and mayonnaise are like outside of your basics. Like, you know, when we're looking at the basic condiments, which is ketchup, mustard and mayonnaise are the two that 100% you're able to use for a plethora of different dishes.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, where, you know, barbecue sauce, you're limited on what you can use it on. I mean, you can use it to put on a burger, stuff like that, but
mac and cheese, not making, hot dog.
You're not sitting there and making, you know, other dishes using barbecue sauce. If you're making a dish using barbecue sauce, usually it's smoked meat of some sort.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. But what's absolutely crazy that when we went to Jack Stacks, shout out Jack Stacks, by the way, they put barbecue sauce on the mac and cheese. And you can ask Jay as my witness, my face, I was like, what is going on here? Like, I wasn't even mad about it. I was just like confused. But like, I love how barbecue sauce is so versatile. There's spicy barbecue sauce, but then you could say that for any other condiment too, I guess, right? So,
yeah, that's basically like, you know, that's what you get with like
mayo for resourcefulness,
mustard for flavor, mayo for resourcefulness. Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, mayo really doesn't have a taste.
Yeah.
It has a texture.
it has a texture, but not a taste.
That's true.
Mustard has like a little bit of spice, a little bit of sweet.
Mayo's literally right. Like the fucking cement of the fucking condiment community.
I'd say it's
a binder. It holds shit together.
You're not wrong. You're not fucking wrong. I
mean, it's the glue. It's the glue that holds the buns and the meat right where it needs to. So, I just gotta say, this soda is so good.
Damn it. That's a soda?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Wild Bill's.
Got any fucking alcohol in it?
No.
No, but it's veteran.
We're talking about John here, Jay.
Look, on the can it says veteran owned.
Okay. Well, I like that. Your camera fucked you on that one.
yeah. Veteran owned. There's a little flag on it. That's really, really cool. Happy Dad. Now, is that alcoholic?
Yes.
Hard seltzer.
And it doesn't. So here's the thing.
I like the
packaging. I'm not a seltzer person. Like, I've tried because I'm a fucking functioning alcoholic. I've tried all the fucking hard seltzers on the market. Tried all the fucking hard seltzers on the market. I haven't found a fucking seltzer I like because they all taste like straight fucking TV fuzz.
Dude,
TV fuzz?
Dude, like, no shit. I went on a seltzer kick last year. Like literally last year, I was on a seltzer kick. And like, they're not bad, right? But there's something like very unsatisfying about them. I don't know how to describe it. I do not know how to, like, you'll go through six of them bitches when you'd probably be on like your third fucking beer. It's fucking water.
The thing is, this time of year, so during the colder months, I do more of the micro brews, the higher fucking ABV stuff.
Sure.
You know, IPAs, fucking.
I'm just saying, like, there's something different about an actual full body beer. Versus the seltzer shit. It's cool that shit tastes good and it's alcoholic. I mean, great story, dude, but it like it's fucking water.
Well, I mean, yeah, because usually at this point in the podcast, water. I've only had two beers. This is my fourth fucking seltzer since we started.
Thank you. That's what I'm getting at. It's like they go down like water, which
at the same time, typically this time of year, I drink Michelob Ultra, which goes down like fucking water too.
Oh, that's also functionally water,
but that's because this time of year when it's warmer out and I'm doing a lot outside and stuff, I'm drinking lighter beers and just it's right out my system. Like I'm just sweating it right out.
I don't know. I
agree with you though, Jay. Like
I'll never judge anybody for their choice.
I'm literally drinking an alcoholic carbonated fucking water with a splash of fucking flavor.
My main problem is like I already have to be responsible when I drink.
Yeah.
So when I have a product that makes me drink it like two times faster, but it's got like the same content as like a regular beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because these are 5% by volume, so
that's a regular beer. That is a regular fucking beer right there. That's your Budweiser. That's your Miller. That's your
the seltzers.
Yes.
Interesting. Yes.
And they'll go down twice as quick because they taste okay, and it's fucking water. It's fucking alcoholic flavored water. They found a way to do it.
Stop selling shit to me.
I'm not gonna lie. It's kind of cool living in fucking 2024 sometimes. There's some really cool ways to get slightly buzzed, right? However, that's also why Jay's not a big fan, because shit gets out of fucking hand really quick, dude.
Jay likes to go full hua.
I mean, I will say The only reason, and you know, I might get canceled for this. The only reason seltzers, hard seltzers became a thing is for basic white women that don't like the flavor of beer.
Is that a lie though?
No, because you got bodybuilders, you got freaking like, you got people that are like trying to watch their freaking, their calorie intake and all that shit. Yeah. And like me eating a fucking vegan burger yesterday at the ballpark, that was a product of like, it's on the menu now, it exists. And seltzers are like right in that same arena. Some people just pay a lot of attention to what I was going to say is like the problem with me and seltzers, and I'm not proud to admit this, but I mean, I remember there was a morning where like There was 10 or 11 left out of a 12 pack in the fridge. And by the time like, you know, noon had passed and like maybe like around like somewhere between like 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that shit was fucking gone.
Well,
all of them. And I was like, oh fuck. Cause they just go down. They just go down, you know what I mean?
Yesterday, so next weekend, me and my lovely fiance were getting married.
I was waiting to bring this up.
We went out, we had some running to do in the morning, we got home. She had some more schoolwork to do because she's getting ready to finish. She's literally in her last week of her master's, of getting her master's degree.
It's talking over you.
So I had bought 2 12-packs of these, and I fucking, you know, came home, changed into some gym shorts, threw on my fucking flip-flops, went and sat outside because it was nice out, get a little sun, and I ended up drinking 24 of these in like five hours yesterday.
Bro, it's not hard to do.
Like, I totally agree with you on that though, Jay. Because I threw down 24 of these yesterday in fucking 5 hours.
We can pontificate about, you know, varying degrees of tolerance and whatever, the reality is those things go down easy and they go down a little too easy.
They go down easy. They go down too easy. They don't bloat you like a beer does. So you don't have that.
You don't feeling feel satisfied. You don't feel satisfied. Yeah. You don't feel like drinking a beer is like drinking like a fucking a chunk of bread, basically. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just it's these like are, bread. It's bread in liquid form. Okay.
Yeah.
The seltzer is like, seltzer is fucking like alcoholic water.
Yeah. Yeah. This is 1 gram of sugar, 100 calories.
Yeah. But they and they what? Go. But how? What was the ABV again? Was it 5%?
5.
That's there. You go.
So
you're drinking a Budweiser that's 100
without all the added shit.
But it's fucking. But it's gonna go down a lot quicker. A lot easier, mm-hmm. a lot faster. And
yeah.
12 packs disappear fucking fast.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, it was one of those really things like
you really have to watch yourself with those things.
Like really I'm sitting there and I'm drinking them. The neighbors come over. Still drinking them. We're trying to figure out dinner plans for last night with the neighbors because usually on Saturdays we do dinner together and then we'll play like cards and shit. So we ended up having to run to the store. My neighbor drove because obviously at that point I'd already knocked down fucking a 12 pack of them. I'm not driving.
Hell no.
So we go to the store and that's when I picked up the second 12 pack because I was like, well, fuck, I like these things. These things are fucking delicious.
And then that motherfucking thing was gone.
Like, yeah.
Like,
so like it that. Definitely, it's one of those things like, I won't do this often, buy these often just because of that. Like I'd rather go.
That's specifically why I don't. Like, on a hot ass motherfucking like July or August day, I might pick up some of that shit just to fucking feel like I'm cooling off a little bit.
Yeah.
Outside of the summer, dude, like fuck that seltzer shit, dude. Not because it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too good.
It's way too good because the thing is I've got beers down in the fridge in the kitchen downstairs that are, you know, really good fucking beers that are like 9.5%. But those I'll buy a 12 pack of those and they'll last me a fucking month and a half.
Right. Right.
So before we get into some news, I kind of want to rewind a little bit. Squillini, congratulations, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah,
like seriously, congratulate. You're getting married. You know, don't be. You're getting married. No, congratulations.
There's a little bit of a. There's a little bit of a fucking story here. So
yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you guys know it was. I didn't want to do the typical fucking New Year's proposal. This was not this past New Year's, but the New Year's before. She started kind of fucking. Figuring out something was going to fucking happen because I had made reservations at, you know, a really nice fucking steakhouse for us after New Year's. And that's when I was going to fucking do it. But she started kind of reading between the lines. So I had to fucking change it up real quick.
Change the script.
Yeah. I changed the script to throw her the fuck off. So, you know, ball drops, fucking we're over at the neighbors. I have him queue up, you know, what we consider our song that starts playing after the ball drops and fucking do that shit. We started looking at venues. We had a venue cause we were going to actually do like a proper fucking wedding this year. And then the reception and everything had the venue, put the deposit down. The venue ended up double fucking booking. And we were the second one that they overbooked. So they had to cancel for that day. So
you had to change.
They offered to give it to us at a different time for half the price because they fucked up. But what we decided to do was this year, we're just doing a small little fucking ceremony. It's going to be me, her mom, dad, sister, and a couple of our close friends that live locally. And then next year we're having the actual like reception fucking party bullshit. So, you know, this is more like I've been kind of having to usually with weddings in a traditional type of environment, the bride and her family are the ones fucking doing all the planning, getting everything together. Because of her finishing up her master's degree, I've been kind of like having to stay on top of her about things like, hey, we need to do this. We need to do that. We need to do this. Because it was just 2 weeks ago, we went to the fucking register of deeds to get our fucking marriage license. So oh, that way shit. We can officially fucking do it. Because yeah. I kept every week like, hey, they close at 4:30. When you get off on fucking Thursday, because she works half days on Thursdays, when you get off and you get home, I'm going to come out. We're going to get in the fucking car. And then, you know, shit would happen or she'd have to go to like a doctor's appointment after work and stuff like that. It just kept getting pushed off, pushed off, pushed off. And now we're like fucking a week out. So, oh,
good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
This is big for you.
Go ahead and get the fucking news ready for me, guys.
Dude, I'm just I'm happy for you. We're happy for you.
I'm halfway tempted to have one of my buddies play fucking taps as I fucking walk up to the altar.
This is big.
I mean, we've been together, so we got together in June of 19. We moved in together August of 19. Because I'm at that point in my life where I'm old enough to know I need to live with you before I fucking decide if I'm fucking putting a ring on your goddamn finger.
Huh?
Like, it's not fucking happening unless we live together for a while now. You know, and she was like, I'm not going to be your girlfriend forever, this, that, and the other. And kept putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Because it's like, no, we've got to fucking know each other. We've got to fucking know, is this something we want before we fucking do it? Because, you know, I've been married three other fucking times, and those three other fucking times was like dumb private moments.
Yeah. Experience, you
know, stripper glitter and stripper dust and all that shit. So now learning from fucking three past mistakes, that wasn't what I was doing this time. So we kind of, it just kind of all like, so June of this year will be what, 5 years officially that we've been together. Mm-hmm. So like I waited till pretty much the 4 year mark before I even fucking said, you know what, fuck it. It's time to take the relationship to the next step because I wanted to make sure it was fucking the right step. She was getting a little pissy because she was like, when am I getting a ring? When am I getting a ring? When am I getting a ring? And kind of getting annoyed with it. And it's like, A, when the time's fucking right, it's gonna fucking happen. You can't fucking speed this shit up. Like, there's no, but now, you know, with her finishing school, it's just, you know, for the wedding portion, we're doing it more because there's other things we're wanting to do going from here now that she's finishing school. And one thing we told each other in the beginning was, if this does make it to the point where we get married or we want to buy a house or anything like that, we're married before we buy a house.
Hell yeah.
Makes sense.
It's fair. You know,
there's all these things there. Like, yeah, I co-signed to get a car for her. That's one thing. And then now I pay the fucking car payment, but that's a whole different story. but you know, it's yeah. I mean, I'm getting married next week. On Saturday, I'm partially freaking out because all my other marriages were JOP, you know, go in, fucking I do, and fucking sign the paperwork. This time we're actually doing it, I guess, the right way in a sense, because we're not just a sort of piecing it. We're having a ceremony. And then next year we're having the fucking party.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that's fucking
and when crazy. We have the party next year, DD214 live.
That would be fucking cool.
It's gonna happen because
both you fuckers are coming, and then we're gonna fucking do that. We will. All I know. Will fucking.
Only thing I have next year so far is I apparently have to go to Tucson in February for a wedding. That's it.
And then in May, you've got to come to North Carolina for fucking a wedding reception.
And there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And let's hit some news. We'll start off with this. On March 25th, 2024, several actors from the beloved 2001 HBO miniseries Band of Brothers traveled to Camp Toccoa, Georgia to begin airborne qualification training. It was part of the first part of the Curahi to Normandy, a nonprofit effort to honor the courage and sacrifices of all the men and women who fought to liberate Nazi-occupied Europe 8 decades ago, that will see the cast make a jump into Normandy during the 80th anniversary commemoration of Operation Overlord, which began on June 6, 1944, also known as D-Day. Mm-hmm. Now, while the Band of Brothers cast members underwent a significant amount of training for the series, they never actually made a jump from an aircraft. Now fully trained and qualified, just as their real-world counterparts from Easy Company, 506 Parachute Infantry Regiment, 101st Airborne Division were, the actors plan to make 2 jumps into Normandy wearing the authentic uniforms and gear. And even better, they want to do it from Placid Lassie, a Douglas C-47 Skytrain that actually participated in the D-Day invasion.
Oh, yeah.
You know what?
What's up? Hell yeah.
I mean, mad props to the actors that portrayed those characters, because A, Band of Brothers, fucking amazing miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Watch it multiple times a year. But mad props to the actors that actually have gone through now the fucking airborne training to be able to legitimately jump out for the 80th anniversary.
That's pretty cool. It's like strange to say too, like, It's going to be 80 years since D-Day this year.
Well,
like we are not getting any younger, are we?
Like, 80 years since D-Day, and 80 years technically since a little over 80 years since fucking paratroopers became a fucking thing for the United States military.
Right. Right.
Because it was World War II when the airborne became a thing.
That is 100%. That is 100%.
Being a jumper, being airborne, it's definitely one of those things. Like, there's a whole nother level of commitment you have to take, especially as a civilian and an actor, to say, you know what, to honor the guys that did this back then, I'm going to go get fucking my jump wings so I can do this now.
I'm a little emotional thinking about it too.
Makes my little jump wing heart fucking proud.
It's beautiful. the actors who are participating this are Christian Black, who played Walter Hendricks, George Khalil, who played James Alley, Nolan Hemmings, who played Charles Grant, Mark Lawrence, who played William Dukeman, Renee Moreno, who played Joseph Ramirez, Pete O'Mara, who played Norman Dyke, and Douglas Spain, who played Antonio Garcia. And even though other cast members may not be jumping, they intend to participate in various commemoration events in Normandy happening in June. This is really cool to talk about. We D-Day is one of the greatest days in American history alone. War history.
That was the largest like seaborne invasion. Like land invasion in military history.
Yeah.
And it was the army that fucking did it.
That's right.
The army did that shit.
Yeah.
Hear me out there in veteran land.
Yep. And now for the fuckery.
Well, here we go.
Fort Liberty soldier is sentenced to over 3 years for romance scams. Bilked over $350,000 from victims. A Fort Liberty soldier has been sentenced to 40 months in federal prison after pleading guilty to 3 months of 3 counts of money laundering related to an elaborate series of romance scams. Specialist Sanda G. Frimpong, who was serving in active duty until his arrest in 2023, was ordered to pay back $350,000 to victims he and others manipulated. He posed as a romantic suitor to earn his victim's trust and subsequently bilked them out of thousands of dollars, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of North Carolina said in press release Thursday. This is over by you, Squalini. Frimpong and other conspirators engaged in elaborate scams impersonating romantic love interest, diplomats, customs personnel, military personnel, and other fictitious personas. He pleaded guilty to three counts, and yeah.
Jesus.
And about...
You know what? Shit like this never... Like, there was bad shit that came out of fucking... that area before the fucking name change, but it was never shit like this. They should have just kept the fucking place called Fort Bragg. Fuck this Camp Liberty bullshit. It pisses me off. It's going to be Fort Bragg till the fucking day I die. I grew up there. I fucking worked there. I patrolled the fucking streets of that fucking base. Fuck name changes.
Yeah. So
sorry.
No, you're good. So it actually says here that he immigrated to the U.S. from Ghana using a K-1 fiancé visa, divorced the sponsor in 2018, was naturalized as a citizen shortly thereafter. I don't understand why that's important to the article, to be honest with you. But it also says here that he laundered the money from his victims. And it also says here that he posed as a woman in 2020 to target a New York-based widower. He claims to have been detained by a Canadian customs officer named Sanda Frimpong. So he used his own name to be in prison and then asked the widower to send a total of $7,400 to help him escape detention and help him move bars of gold out of Canada.
Hey, fuck that guy. I got another.
So first off, people, I'm gonna take this back a step to fucking cybersecurity school for a minute here.
Yeah.
When you receive an email from a fucking Nigerian prince, it's not fucking real.
Case in point.
It's real. Like, I mean, this motherfucker, you said he was from Ghana?
Yeah, and he was, and yeah, he was in the military. Yeah,
region. We're going with that. We're going same region here. What the? I'm sorry. I feel like if you're dumb enough to fucking send somebody money that just fucking reaches out claiming to be something, you deserve to fucking have your money taken.
Yeah. Oh, and for context, Nigeria and Ghana are just two states away from each other.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know what the fucking world map looks like.
Yeah,
but like fucking Jesus Christ. And then second off, fuck that guy. I hope he rots in fucking jail for the rest of his damn life.
40 months.
Screwing over fucking Americans. How long?
40 months.
Oh, that's not fucking long enough.
No.
Because the he came to the U.S. on a fucking visa. Got married to somebody here so he could stay here. Joined the fucking military because he was in the service, right?
Yep.
Joined the fucking military so he could become a fucking citizen. And then he's scamming people out of fucking hardworking fucking Americans out of their goddamn money.
That's exactly what he's doing.
I mean, honestly, if we follow the fucking paper trail, I feel like that should be a fucking longer sentence.
I think so, too, because it does. I mean, if he's scamming, right?
He scammed his way into a U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, that's what it legitimately sounds like. And we're not trying to be controversial or harsh, but if you look at the evidence here, he had the visa, divorced in 2018, and then got his citizenship, like, somewhere around that time.
Yeah.
So he knew what he was doing. Whoever was
exactly
whoever was a part of that should probably be questioned as well, because in those I'm not going to sit here and say that I know all the laws, but we know that there are laws pertaining to things like this, especially if two parties are involved in the situation. So
no, 100%, like the parties involved with that, like everything from immigration through the ex-wife to whoever granted him his fucking visa, all of them motherfuckers should be fucking questioned, because that's some shady shit.
Yeah, the whole situation.
He scammed his way into a United States fucking citizenship. I don't give a shit.
He did. What? No, I agree. I have to agree with that, because it's all there.
You know, my thing is, I have no problem with people coming to our country to better their lives.
Absolutely.
When they do it the fucking right way. There are people out there that work their asses off to become citizens of U.S. citizens
for years. They work for upward of like 10 to 15 years just for that sometimes. Yeah. And then you got
fucking dickheads like this who scam their way into the fucking country saying, hey, I'm coming over here because, you know, my significant other's here. They get married so they can stay. And then they divorce, get a fucking citizenship, and then they start scamming fucking people out of money.
It's fucked.
Totally fucked.
Next, we have thousands of former National Guard soldiers were mailed letters from the service component asking them to figure out whether they are owed unpaid bonuses. The guard letters went to the former soldiers who may have never received their promised enlistment bonus after their service component got behind on the payments. The vague correspondence essentially asked them to jump through bureaucratic hoops to find out whether they're owed anything, and if so, how much the documents show. In October, military
money. Hey, U.S. Army Department of Defense, you still owe me like $50,000. If we're going down that rabbit hole,
yeah,
I'm just gonna say they owe me money.
Well, there you go. In October, military.com was the first to report that the National Guard was behind on paying out about 13,000 bonuses, some of which have been delayed for years. And the backlog has gotten so severe that 3,900 of those soldiers completed their service and left the military without getting their bonus.
Damn.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yep. And following that report
National Guard, it hurts.
Yeah,
it really is. Like,
yeah, so now
if you want to see the most disorganized motherfuckers in a combat zone, look for the fucking National Guard units.
Absolutely. And so it says here that the lawmakers, the service component is now asking the soldiers to file claims, which include various online applications and gathering records such as initial enlistment documents and discharge orders, which they may not have or do not have access to. Discharge orders you should have. I feel like that's as easy as it gets when you have, because I have every single paperwork of mine in a filing cabinet right here from discharging and stuff like that. Enlistment, I kind of feel like that would be all in the same paperwork as well, too.
I still have all that paperwork, too.
Yeah.
In a safety deposit box.
Yeah.
I don't keep it in my house.
Yeah. And the last, this is, get your roasting sticks ready.
Oh, God.
A Navy sailor who was convicted on a charge stemming from his participation on the Capitol riot has managed to avoid jail time or probation after a judge sentenced him to 30 days of home detention and a $2,500 fine. Petty Officer First Class David Elizalde argued in a sentencing memo that a probation sentence would have been fatal to his Navy career, which he wanted to salvage despite being convicted of one charge of violent entry and disorderly conduct on the Capitol grounds when a violent mob stormed the building, hoping to overturn the 2020 presidential election. What do we want to say about this?
You tried to overturn an election and you're worried about it being fatal to your fucking Navy career?
Thank you.
You're a fucking traitor, dude.
Like, didn't he just get kicked out the second he got fucking charged?
Bro. So many other people got kicked out. So many other people got letters of reprimand, letters of separation. And this guy is whining.
In my day, you know what that would have fucking done? A fucking general discharge under other than honorable fucking purpose.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have gotten the dishonorable. You would have just gotten the general under other than honorable.
Can you imagine if we had tried to overturn an election when we were in? And then tried to use like our service as like a reason that like we can't.
They'd have fucking hung our asses.
We'd still be doing
pot firing squad.
I'm pretty sure we'd still be at Leavenworth.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck like sleeping pills fucking the country took like after coronavirus, but Jesus Christ, dude, like.
Yeah, this is
that shit was such a fucking stain on our history, dude.
Dude, I really wish we were in a different fucking simulation at this point. Dude, seriously, like it's like we're all Americans. We respect it, whether we like it or whether we like what they do or not. It is
It's just it's law and land,
you know.
It's just it's a little offensive when people like that fucking traitorous scumbag try to hold their service up as like some kind of sacred cow. When it's like, dude, if you wanted to have the sacred cow, you have to fucking respect the institution. You obviously didn't respect the institution because you tried to fucking like overturn a fucking election, dude.
Yep.
Like, hello. Like, fuck your Navy career, dude. Like, fuck you. Fuck you specifically and individually.
You did something like, detrimental. You did something detrimental that the rest of the world is going to know for
forever. Years. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking 44 other fucking presidents didn't seem to have a fucking problem with this shit.
You know what's so funny too?
Didn't have a problem with that shit.
How you know how like you hear of things like this happening in the 17 fucking hundreds?
Right.
You know? Right. And then it happens in what was that? 2020, the beginning of 23?
21.
Holy shit. It's you know, like you don't even think about it that much. And it's just like, dude, like, you know, there's some things that you do. Protesting, I fully support. You know, I think we've been pretty vocal. You know,
that's protected under the First Amendment. That's one of the protections. It's like the right to assembly.
And then you go in and then make a shit show out of everything. And then it's just like, well, why do we have these amendments? Why do we have these laws?
Why do we live in a country of law? Like,
yeah.
We're ruled under law. So it's like, if you're going to break the law to try to like get your way when you obviously like lost an election, you know what I mean? Like you don't get to cry foul after the fact.
You tried that.
Like go ahead.
It's like having six kids, right? And three kids want to go left, and then the other three kids want to go straight. And it's like, you know, they don't agree to everything, so then all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. But it's like they don't even start to think about those that are around them,
right?
The effects afterwards, mm-hmm. and the long term damage.
Yeah. It was embarrassing. I remember sitting, I don't remember if I had the day off or what, but I was at a bar in Pueblo, Colorado, Pueblo West. And I watched that shit live on CNN.
Watched that shit.
Like it was like one, it was so fucking like, it like, I couldn't do anything but fucking like drink.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy because like now
it was such a fucking stain. And it was so obvious that like they were all lying about everything. It was like it was such an obvious lie that it was gross.
And now there's a broken window with a fucking plaque on it that says this window was broken on January 6, 2021. You know, like now that's there. And then it's just like the blood. You know the story about the blood on the stairs?
No. Uh-uh.
I believe it's the Capitol building. Let me.
What was the story though?
So the blood's been there since William Talby. Are you familiar with that story?
Uh-uh.
So William Talby, he died 11 days before Talby died. He was walking on the steps of the Capitol building and he was stabbed by someone and his blood still stains the steps of the Capitol to this day. Like they haven't been able to wash the blood out. And it's like all these things that happened from the past, like that happened in 1890 and this thing happened in just 3 years ago. And it's just like, it's so crazy to think that people are still acting like this.
Right.
Burning buildings down and stealing things from each other. But
I don't think it's anything to fear, though. Like, I don't.
No.
As always, you know, reminder here on the DD214 Network podcast. We don't fucking fear fascists. We don't fear bullies. We don't fear people whose only method of argument is to fucking shout the loudest. Like we don't care what your political, religious, anything affiliation is. That is not our place. We believe in freedom,
yep.
Right? But we will also stand very steadfast in saying, like, we don't agree with the shit that was going down on like January 6th. and especially like veterans and active duty personnel that were involved in that, like, fuck all of you. Straight up, fuck all of you.
Fucking January like, Sixers.
You fucking pussy-ass motherfuckers.
You're fucking like, Sixers.
Boy, did you back the wrong horse. Boy, did you back the wrong fucking horse on that one.
And then even then, it's not even about backing the wrong horse. It's about doing the right fucking thing.
Thank you. Goddamn right, John. Like, hold on.
You know, it's
let me pull this up. Hold on. No, that's correct.
And outside of that, you know, we just have to...
You have to say that again. You have to say that again, Squillini.
Be stronger than your excuses. Stop being fucking dumbasses.
Yeah.
Shit. And on that note, I mean, look, everybody. I
purposely bought this damn fucking little thing right here.
You see it every week.
Behind me. You see it every fucking week. This sits behind me when I'm fucking working, when I'm in meetings, people fucking see this thing. Because it's fucking true. This country has gotten so fucking used to just excuses, excuses, excuses. It's fucking ridiculous.
Agree.
Hell yeah. And on that note, guys, you know what time it is. You know that every single week we talk about it all the time. Suicide prevention. Suicide prevention, suicide prevention, suicide prevention. We're going to say it three times like Beetlejuice so everyone hears it. Every single day we are losing somebody to suicide. And YouTube, you could take the algorithm, you could do whatever you have to ruin our algorithm, but the word is going to be said because the education needs to be the education is needed. There is someone in your family, in your friend group, in your work circle, in your little hobby circle, maybe you're a 13-year-old kid who skateboards at the park. One of you guys are having a hard day. One of you guys are having a hard week. One of you guys is having an absolute hard fucking life. And take the time to sit down with them and ask them how they're doing. Give them a drink of water. Maybe it'll open up a conversation to help them out that day. We need each other today more than anything. And if you don't want to talk to that person next to you, if you don't want to talk to your family member, your friend, give a stranger a shot. Give a stranger a shot and give them a call at 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-TALK. You could also text or call 988 and it will give you a direct line to an operator who's waiting to listen to your story today. It is highly important, highly, highly important, okay? I said it last year. This summer is going to be the big one, and it was a huge summer. This one's going to be even better, and we need each other. We need to hug each other. We need to love each other. I love you. I love you, Jay. I love you, Squillini.
Love you, John.
I know we don't speak it all the time. We come here and we let out our grievances and our happiness here today. But if you guys ever need anything, you guys could fucking call me. Just like I know I could call you.
That's correct.
Be there for each other. Be there for each other. There is literally too much bullshit happening in the fucking world right now to even worry about the person next to you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no fear.
Fear. And if you think that person next to you is talking shit, ask them why they feel like that. What are they going to do?
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. So
guys, just like Jay says, I want to see you in 168 hours in formation, dress right, dress in uniform, black socks only.
Fuck yeah, black socks.
Black socks only. Which, by the way, when they switched over the black socks, I couldn't be happier. So,
I've never owned a pair of like white socks since. Like, that was the only pairs of white socks I like owned in like the last 25 years was because I was in the army when like we had white socks.
During the good old white sock PT phase.
Oh my god!
I was so happy when they switched to fucking blacks.
Yeah.
And the worst part is, you know when that fucking change happened? 2 months before I got the fuck out.
I was pissed. Oh, shit.
Just the White Sox did not go with the fucking uniform at all.
And no one knew when your socks were dirty, too. So,
right. Right.
Guys, we love you. We'll see you next week.
See you next time.